Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of In the Crease with Danny and Kevin, a coast-to-coast discussion of D2 men's lacrosse. I'm your co-host, Kevin Stenstrom, and with me, as always, is our ambassador for D2 lacrosse, Danny Moran. Mr. Ambassador, how's it going?
Thank you, Kevin, for that fine introduction. I really appreciate that. Very nice of you. How's everything going tonight, my friend, in Northern Virginia?
Well, actually, I'm in Atlanta tonight. We're kind of down helping my mom some more. So it's all going well. She continues
and
to improve, which is
She's doing better. That's great to hear.
Yeah. So it's all good.
That's great.
And it's, you know, like 85 down here. So you can't complain.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you?
All good, man. Another work day. It was a beautiful day here in New York. City's so nice. They named it twice.
Yeah. There you go.
So, just plugging through another day, kid.
Yeah. All right. But we always say this, enough about us. We got a lot of stuff to cover, including trying to get some conference stuff in. So let's get going with your top 10.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your
top 10 roundup.
All right, guys. Number one, Limestone beat number 7, Wingate, 17-14 in a thriller of a ball game down south in North Carolina. Number 2, LR beat Coker, 14-4. Number 3, Tampa beat Seton Hill, 14-9. Number 4, Adelphi. The Panthers beat Franklin Pierce, 14-2. Number 5, Mercy Mavs beat Frostburg State, 16-12. Number 6, Rollins. The Tars beat Palm Beach Atlantic, 13-6. And number 7, Wingate lost to Limestone. Number 8, St. A's beat Assumption, 17-9 in any 10 action, Kev. Number 9, Newberry beat LMU rather handily, 16-7 in sack play. And number 10, Pace is on a tear, man. They're playing well lately. They beat St. Mike's, 15-11. And that's your
top 10 roundup.
And Kev, just a couple of quick scores of note over the weekend. Mount Olive continues to play well. They beat Emmanuel 15-8. Dewville over UDC, 12-6.
I got a couple others. Yeah. I got a couple others of note. Roberts Wesleyan beat Malloy 17-16 in a close game. Malloy is once again hanging
pesky
on.
Pesky Lions.
St. Rose beat AIC 13-10 in the Pride game. So they're still moving along, looking good. And then the only other game I'd point at it, Wilmington, Georgian Court. Wilmington in the key CACC matchup beat Georgian Court 17-14. So those are some other scores just to go through. Really good games, but let's talk about some of the big ones. And why don't we start, Danny, with number 1 Limestone and number 7 Wingate.
Kevin, that was a quality lacrosse game. It was a really good game between two good teams. And you know what? First of all, I want to start out, I want to bitch to Flow Sports, the streaming network for the SAC. That game, the first 5 or 6 minutes didn't show.
Yeah.
Didn't come on. People were screaming about it. And you know what? This is not the first time the Flow Sports is screwed up. And what's crazy about Flow Sports is that the whole South Atlantic Conference, all their games are streamed through Flow Sports. And it costs money.
Yeah.
It costs money. It's expensive and it's not cheap at all. And I'm not so crazy about the service because, I have an invested interest in some of that, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I totally agree. I think, you know, for you and me, I watch enough SAC games, not just Wingate. But right. If I was a parent of Newberry or a grandparent and they're asking me to shell out the money just and all I want to do is watch Newberry games.
Yeah. 2 hours on a Saturday.
Doesn't make sense. The pricing, the way they do it.
No, it's not. But again, getting back to the game, Limestone hold on to win 17-14. Really good game. Kev, a little bit more offense than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be more of a defensive game. But
I agree.
Both offenses stepped up. I mean, I thought it was a really good game. What'd you think?
I agree. I was kind of surprised at how the scoring was going to be 9-9 at half. I was kind of surprised at that. And I'll tell you how I saw it go. Like, I will tell you, bottom line, Limestone won this game fair and square, outright. Got out to a quick start. They got up to, I think, about a 3-goal lead at some point in the first half. And Wingate didn't back down, and they got back and tied it 9-9. And then Limestone came out and really controlled the first 4 minutes of that third quarter to go up by three.
They did.
When they did that, it was like one of those other runs. It was kind of like, I think, Lenore Ryan against Wingate in the second quarter where they went on the 4-goal run.
Right.
Wingate kept on trying to sneak back, just get like within one goal. You know, they kept on trying to that, and they almost did it, and Limestone would come back and score.
Yeah. You know what, Kev? These are two of the best teams in the country. Like, when I look at games in the South, and particularly the SAC, I'm seeing such a different level of lacrosse in those conferences and those big boys than I am when I watch other teams, even in the North, even the better teams in the North. I'm seeing a different style of lacrosse. These guys are really good. They're well coached. They're fast. They're strong. Every kid on that team can play. There's all Americans on both sides of the ball for both teams. They're both playing their hearts out. And you know what? Again, I think Limestone's number one for a reason. They're good, man. And I thought their goalie, O'Leary, played very well.
He did. He played really well. I think if you look at team stats, Thomas Sullivan had more saves, but O'Leary had key saves, critical saves when they needed. The other thing I'd point out about this game, a couple of things. I think Limestone seemed to own the middle of the field. And the stats kind of bared that out when the Bulldogs only went 21 of 27 clears, which is unusual for the Wingate team. And usually with Wingate's ride, they own the middle of the field. Limestone took it. The other thing I would say is
Wingate's ride was pretty good. They gave Limestone a hard time trying to clear the ball.
I'm telling you,
it was a good game.
Limestone owned the middle of the field more than Wingate in that game. That's I'm going to say.
Yeah, they caused a bunch of turnovers.
I'm not saying that Wingate didn't still have a good ride. I'm just saying Limestone was better in the middle of the field. They got more ground balls and picked up more ground balls in the middle of the field than Wingate did. The other thing I would say is Wingate's defense was very aggressive, more aggressive than I've seen it. And I think that was on purpose. And I don't think that was a bad move if that's what they were trying to do. There were times where they slid aggressively, very quick, and all of a sudden it was like triple teaming against the guy on the ball.
Yeah.
And the difference was, in other teams, Wingate would always get the ball back. With a team like Limestone a couple times got goals because they found the open man. And that still wasn't easy. I mean, I don't disagree with the concept and the aggressive defense. I liked it, but it just worked out a couple goals in Limestone favor.
You know, I just thought Limestone played a little bit better. You know, I think Wingate was definitely like looking to stop Zach Terry. You know, they were doubling him quick. They were pressing out. And that's another thing. Limestone's guys were pressing out too. They were way out.
Way out.
Yeah.
I mean, almost to the midline.
Yeah, really close to the midline. They were pressing out. They were making it difficult for Wingate. But Wingate's got a good offense. And, you know, just like in the Lenore Ryan game, that Wingate just kind of worked their offense and were able to get shots off. You know, they had a couple of wide. They were able to get shots off. What was the shot difference? 52 to 50. It was basically even in shots. So Wingate had their chances. They had their opportunities. I thought O'Leary played well. Carter Brand had himself a game for the Saints. 4 goals. Zach Terry had 2 and 2. Matt Burt had 2. Jason Tomforti, he's a good player, man.
Yeah. Oh,
because he does a lot of the little things.
That's about you. He had 2 goals, which surprised me because the amount of times they were saying his name and he was involved in plays.
But he plays defense. He gets ground balls. He's a great passer. He's a good dodger. He can do so many things on that field. I was pretty impressed with Tom Forte. He's good. Nate Sanez, how about this? 2 goals and 6 assists. He was just dishing out dime. Tim Ladner had one. Austin Lamoureux had 1 and 2. Grant Rogers and Mike McGarry had a goal. O'Leary in goal with 8 saves. Lander at the dot. Ladner at the dot, one of the better ones in the country, 21 out of 32. And for Wingate, Sean Clark, the freshman, had a really good game, 4 goals.
Yeah.
Kyle Spence with 3. Danny Riley with 2 and 1. Jackson Grant had 2. Mark Cottage 1. Joey Moran had 1 and 1. And Willie Greco, 1 goal, but 6 assists.
And 6 assists, yeah.
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 So, you know, Dylan Ruppert at the X, 12 of 25. Not the greatest day, not the worst day he's had either against some of the better, you know. I think that's where Wingate has struggled in the games that they lost. That stat at the dot.
I think if you look at controlling that first 4 minutes of the third quarter by Limestone, I'd have to go back and look at it, but I think a lot of it had to also do with them winning the faceoffs.
Oh, 100%. And you know what? I thought Ruppert played well. He's only a sophomore. He's got the start this year for Wingate, but in the games that they lost, those faceoff guys are like in the top 10 in the country, all three of them.
The kid
from Tampa, the kid from Lenoir Ryan. And, you know, so that's where they struggled. But I thought, you know, I think Wingate's probably the best four-loss team in the country, you know, facing 7 ranked teams. And now they have one more game down in the SAC, and then they start the SAC conference tournament next weekend, a week from Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, it's coming quick. In fact, it was funny, Danny. I meant to mention this when we started. This came so fast. I was actually looking. I went to my old last year's template, and I went for this week to try to start reusing it. And I look down, and I see the conference tournament's April 20th. I'm like, oh, my God, we are here. Like, it just jumped on with everything going on in my life. So that's one thing we got to talk about today. But yeah, it's fast and furious. I mean, the South is finishing their conference play, and they're getting into, by April 20th, there's conference tournaments going on. But let's go back to some of the games. Let me talk Tampa Seton Hill. This was a really interesting game, Danny. Tampa won 14-9. And my quote for this game is a death by 1,000 cuts.
What do you mean?
And here's what I mean. Tampa gets off and jumps out early and scores the first 6 goals. But it didn't feel like to me that it was 6 goals in like 4 minutes. It was 6 goals within the first quarter, but it didn't feel like, I mean, they were still moving the ball around. It wasn't like they got a bunch of right off the face off goals or transition goals. They did win most of the faceoffs, so they had more time on offense, but it was more controlled. So I didn't really, but all of a sudden it's 6-0. Seton Hill comes back, scores 2, it's 6-2 after 1. And then Seton Hill goes on at rally, death by 1,000 cuts on the other side to tie it at 7 at half.
Well, okay.
And I thought, okay, we got a game. It's 9-9 in the third. And then Tampa goes on a 5-0 run to seal the deal. And once again, it wasn't like it was 5 quickly, right? It was 5 throughout the fourth quarter. And that's what I mean. It's just like these little cuts. Like you think Seton Hill's going to come back. Seton Hill's going to come back. And it was just another Tampa goal. Another couple minutes later, Tampa goal. And before you knew it, they just chipped away. They just chipped away until now the difference was a 5-goal differential.
Yeah. That's why Tampa is, man. Tampa's tough, man.
Yeah, they take over as usual when they need to in the end. That's the way it seems like this year to me. Like some games are close and then Tampa takes control and wins. They're a good team.
They're quietly kind of kicking everybody's ass, if you ask me. They've been kind of on the quiet side this year, you know.
Yeah, so for Tampa, Andrew Milani had 5 goals, Canyon Birch had 2, and Charlie Bolish had 3 goals. On Seton Hill, Connor Zostant, Wade Brunell, and Nate Herbster all with 2 goals, and Peyton Gensler with 1 goal, 1 assist. So I just want to go over that game. What other games did you watch?
I watched the Montevallo UAH game, big Peach Belt game, Kev.
Yeah.
Montevallo looked really good in this game. They wound up winning the game 15-8. Montevallo goes to 9-4 overall, 4-1 in conference. UAH dropped to 6-7, 1-1 in conference. Montevallo scored early and often. They tallied 5 goals before Utah, before UAH even got on the board. When Braden O'Neill finally scored for UAH, Montevallo tallied 3 more and led 7-3 at half. The third quarter saw the Falcons score 4 more. UAH was able to score 3 goals of their own in the third, but the Falcons held a 15-6 lead going into the fourth. And that was it. Montevallo kind of dominated the game. Matt Boas, 5 goals. Jackson Klucek had 3. Zach LaBerge had 3. Ryan Hunter Miller and Jake Obi each with 1. For UAH, Graham Young had 2. And then a bunch of guys with 1. Friend, O'Neill, Fabrizio, Jake Thomas, and Zach Ensenberger and Nate Duncan each had 1. So Montevallo, big game.
Yeah, and so with
kind of dominated.
They clinched their second regular season Peach Belt title.
There you go.
Commanding win.
Good job, boys.
Okay, what about the Frostburg State Mercy game? Did you watch that one?
Watched a little bit of it.
Mercy pulls it out 16-12. I watched a little bit of it too, like I was down here helping my mom again, but got a little bit of it. Mercy goes up 4-1 in the first before the Bobcats fight back to make it 4-3 to end the first. Once again, we talked about this. There are several games with just runs that split it open. Mercy goes on a 7-goal scoring run to put it out of reach. It's 12-5 at half. Frostburg actually won the next 2 quarters, but not a wide enough margin, so they only can close it by 3. They won it 4-2 in the third and 3-2 in the fourth, but they didn't have enough to close that 7-goal run gap. So, and Mercy's D really helped out. Another one where they owned the middle of the field, and I saw some replays on that where they just annihilated in getting turnovers in the middle of the field and held Frostburg to only 16 of 21 clears. Yeah, Justin Girdville, get this, 6 ground balls, 4 caused turnovers.
He's a beast, man. He's a man amongst boys. But how about Bubba Love for Frostburg, huh?
Oh, 6 goals.
My boy was balling out, man, especially in the third quarter there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He had a good game.
He's a handful, that kid.
Yeah, that's what's interesting. I thought that the game may be closer only because I think Frostburg State has a lot of offensive weapons that they can utilize. Austin Sipes, Owen McCallum, Chase Bookwalter. They all, when you've got that many, there's a chance against Mercy. But Mercy defense really held them. And of course, if you look at Mercy's offense, you've got TJ Harder had 3 goals, 1 assist. Tyler Piatak with 2 goals. Greg Gibbons with 3 goals. Jason Kuhner, 2 goals and 21 out of 29 on the faceoff. Jason last week. He was a big difference.
He's a big reason why Mercy's doing so well. I mean, they're good. They're a good team anyway, but they're getting a lot of possessions, Kev.
Well, you heard Dom last week, make it, take it. They can really rely on that. They can work their offense a lot more because they have confidence that they can run the clock down, get the score. He's that good. They're going to get the ball back. They don't need to score quickly and try to get the ball back on defense.
Kuhner is that good. And I think, like I just said, he's a big reason why this team is where they are, is Jason Kuhner. And I'm not taking anything away from the offense and defense because they're very good. But without Kuhner, I wonder what kind of team that would be if you evened up the possessions a little bit. Because Mercy's just dominating possessions.
They wouldn't have those runs, I don't think, like those 7-goal runs as much. And I think they'd have to rely on their offense, obviously. Right. To shut them down. I mean, rely on their defense. Rely on their defense.
And their defense is good. But their offense is good, too. So they're 10-1, Mercy, 5-0 in the ECC.
Yeah.
They're doing pretty good. Frostburg drops to 9-3 and 3-1.
Yep. OK, one more game to go over, Danny. And this is Westminster against Colorado Mesa.
Barn burners.
It was at Westminster this time, and the home team pulled it out. Same exact score as when they played at CMU, 13-12.
You think these guys hate each other, these two teams?
I don't know. It was a physical game. I think they are so closely matched this year. CMU had them last year. CMU was just a better team last year than Westminster. This year, they are so even. It was very, very close. And Westminster takes the Reese match. Westminster goes up 7-5 after one. But Colorado Mesa goes on a 4-1 tear in the second to go up 9-8 at half.
Wow.
Westminster then answers in the fourth with a 4-1 rally to take a 12-10 lead. Now, Colorado Mesa outscores them 2-1 in the fourth. But once again, that gap is just enough where they can't get it back, you know. So really, really interesting. Very close game. And the team stats were dead even. I'll tell you, one of the things that stuck out was that Colorado Mesa went 0-3 on extra man. Yeah, being man okay. up. And with a one goal game, you gotta think. Now, you know, having three man ups, okay, that's not a huge number. But when it's a one goal game, you've got to be thinking, yeah, if we only got one, we could have gone to overtime, right?
Yep.
Westminster, Merritt McMahon, 6 goals, 1 assist. He's been balling out this year.
Yeah,
Jacob Menendez, 2 goals. Joseph Celentano, 1 goal, 1 assist. Timothy McGuire on defense, 2 ground balls, 3 caused turnovers. Good day. Christian Jones in goal, 17 saves.
Good game.
Both goalies over 50%.
Wow.
So on CMU, J.J. Brummett, 3 goals, 1 assist. Hunter Holcomb, 1 goal, 2 assist. Micah Payton, 2 goals, 2 assists. Dylan Pless, 2 goals. And Luke Parrish, their goalie, 16 saves. That's how close this team was.
Yeah. Just think next year, if they go for automatic qualifiers, these two, they're going to be fighting for NCAA berths next year.
Yeah.
Because I feel like some of these teams out there, they're getting left out because of strength of schedule and travel and stuff like that.
Right.
So they might not be able to put the schedule together that required to almost get into the NCAAs. But if we have automatic qualifiers next year, Kev, which could be coming.
Well, it's supposed to come in 2025. And so that would be so great to see one of those two teams, any team in the RMAC. You never know what's going to happen next year, but if you keep on this pace, one of those two teams, let's see what they can do in the NCAA tournament.
Because they're both pretty good teams, you know. They could upset somebody, you know, after they came in an upper seeding, you know, a lower seeding type of thing.
If you look at them and their schedules, when they play GLVC or they play other South Region teams, they usually go about 500.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit less, but right around that. Doesn't mean, you know, and they're the ones traveling. They're a couple, guess what? And when teams go out to see them, Rollins last year lost.
Yeah.
Maryville going out, lose.
Yep. Yep. So, you're right.
You know, other people travel, they get to feel that pain, you know. So it'll be interesting to see. All right, Danny. Now it's time to turn to games to watch this next week.
Yeah, let me start off with
a couple good ones. I got a little bit of a different one. We've talked about Virginia State a little bit. We haven't talked about Wheeling. This is a late out-of-conference game. As you know, Virginia State is not in the conference. I think it's a good one for Virginia State, but I think it's a good one for Wheeling. Why? They are sitting at 5-7, and they want try to climb towards that 500 mark, right? They did pretty well beginning of the season, as you remember. They got off to a pretty hot start, but then they had a little bit of a rough patch. I think they are looking to be kind of recognized as moving up in the GMAC, right? And this is another one. Virginia State, they should win, I think. But they are still in the hunt to try to get to 500. Interestingly, they have some players that we haven't talked about. One of them, I found this out, Justin Hall, their goalie. He has a 53% save percentage this year. Ain't too bad.
Get this.
He also had his first assist ever in the game against Tiffin.
Get out of here.
Try to look that one up. It's pretty cool. It's one of those, and it wasn't like he ran up and passed it. It was a long pass
Oh, wow. Goalie with an assist. Wow.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Him, so man.
That you don't see very often.
Like I said, the kind of like AIC, Wheeling is battling for legitimacy as they are continuing to build under Coach Bradshaw. He's only been there for about 3 years, and I think he has them going in the right direction. So it's just an interesting game. That was the one I had on my list. What are you looking at?
Well, I think a good game this week is going to be the UND Lewis game. That's always an interesting game.
Yeah.
UND kind of needs to win out a little bit. If they're looking at NCAAs, you know, they kind of need to win. Lewis has been like a little up and down, but they've been playing better as of late. So they're in UND though, but let's see if Lewis can give him a game a little bit.
I agree. These games that ended up in the GLVC are very interesting because both UND and Rockhurst play Maryville and Lewis to end their seasons. They just switch them. So Rockhurst on Saturday, April 20th, plays Maryville. And this is their first, besides beating UIndy. And I tell you, I think Maryville's still a very good team. This is one of the GLVC hurdles they need to get over to remain in the number one seat.
Yeah, Rockhurst, they're ranked now. They got into the top 20, Kev.
Yeah.
So we'll see. That should be a good one.
Yeah.
Well, who else you got?
I've got
not a whole lot of great games.
Mercy, right, Sunday. Mercyhurst on Sunday. Another late out of conference game. A really good game.
That should be a good competitive game.
It should be. If you look at
for
it.
For Mercy. Mercy needs to play somebody.
And Frostburg State, I think they played better. I thought that would be a closer game. That was a top 20 team.
Yeah, top 20 team.
Now Mercyhurst is at number 12, and they are playing pretty well. They got going. It took them a little bit to get going with Coach Keeley, and they're playing very, very good, solid quality, ding, 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 lacrosse.
Yeah. And so they are.
I think that could be a really interesting game. Can Mercyhurst upset them? Because on paper, Mercy should win that game by rankings and everything else.
Yeah. On paper. But again, I don't, Mercyhurst is going to be a good, tough opponent for Mercy. Yeah. This should be a good game. Good competitive game.
Is it a special teams? Is it Kuhner at faceoff against Olney and goal?
Well, I'll give you a couple of bucks and let's see which way we're going to bet. Yeah. if I were a betting man. Kuhner at the dot.
Kuhner's going to own the dot, I think. So does Mercyhurst defense stand up?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
The other game I've got happens on Tuesday, the 23rd, and that's St. Anselm against Pace. And St. A's has got a brutal schedule. We'll get to their other game in the game of the week, but they've got two tough back-to-back games. Right now, St. A's sits at 6-0 in the conference, and Pace is at 6-1.
Yeah.
And Pace will probably be 7-1 if they beat AIC, which I expect them to beat. Pace could get the number two seed if they beat St. A's.
That's right.
And that could really help them secure an NCAA bid.
Absolutely. 100%. It's a big game for Pace.
It's a big game. And St. A's isn't going to back down. I mean, St. A's wants that game too. It'll be a blue collar, any 10 game. Yeah.
Between two big boys.
That'll be a game that doesn't get much better than that on a Tuesday night. Dial in. Yeah. Unfortunately, we may be recording a podcast. We got to figure that one out, Danny.
I'll have it on the TV. I'll be looking as I'm recording, but that should be a good game.
Howdy, folks, and this is the game of the week brought to you by the two knuckleheads at In the Crease, bringing you the game that we believe is the best game in all of D2 lacrosse to watch this week. Barn burners, matchups, and implications. We bring it all here at the game of the week. And hello, friends.
right, Danny, it's time to talk about the game of the week, the one you and I both picked, and that's Adelphi against St. Anselm. We talked about it, the seeding implications between Pace and St. A's later on Tuesday, but on Saturday, if St. A's pulls this out, they're the number one seed if they beat Pace. I mean, there's so many different permutations on this.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what the NE10 has been without Lemoyne this year, Kev. It seems to be these three, Pace, Adelphi, and St. A's, driving for that number one spot. So these games are really important because they're going to meet each other in 2 weeks in the conference tournament.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, this is the best part of the year, I think. It's like it's getting ready for playoffs, and you get games like this, top 10 matchups, top 15, top 20 matchups. They all have seeding implications and everything that for conference. And these games get amped up a little bit more. There's a little bit more at stake, even though they're regular season games.
Yeah, I totally agree. So there's some great ones we talked about, and I think we need to get into some conference discussions on the tournament. Before we do that, though, Danny, I've got some D2 news of the week. It's not really D2 news. It's really more news from our listeners that provided us through our Instagram account. They DM'd us, and it's with a D2 bent, though. So I've got to get these out really quickly. First, an update on the Dietz Motorhome Adventure.
Here we go. This is
after Montevallo's win. They now know that they're going and headed to Alabama.
Okay. And
they're going to their home field because that's where their son plays. So pretty cool. They get to do that.
I wish you would have told me. I would have got some traveling music to put on in the story in the background.
Here's all something right, else.
The Dietz family. That's pretty cool, man.
We had a couple of listeners point out that we mentioned three Calgary boys in the same episode. We've done that before. Several Canadian players. We just did it this week when we talked with our player spotlight, right?
Coquitlam.
But here's the other interesting part about these three boys. Matt Flamenspeck from Florida Southern, Nolan Oakey from Lander, and Noah Dietz from Montevallo all played on the same Fox Lacrosse Junior B team, Rocky View Silvertips.
That's interesting. All right.
And not only are they playing D2, but we mentioned all three in the same episode.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm really happy people pointed that out to us.
That's really interesting. Great. That's cool. That's really cool that people pointed that out.
The final D2. Well, this isn't D2. This is international. Chris White, a listener from Down Under, matched travel with the Dietz as he sent a Google map to us of his travels from Perth, Australia to Melbourne.
This is crazy. This is crazy.
One day and 12 hours. So 36 hours. That's the lower end of what the Dietz will have to do. His son played in the U18 National Championship in Melbourne. It's 5 games in 5 days with the best 100 lacrosse players under 18 from Australia and New Zealand. And he went to it and traveled all that way.
That's amazing. Cool. That is cool.
So that's our D2 news of the week. All right. So now you're ready to get into some conference tournament talk and conference?
Yeah, this is, you know, what I got. I love this stuff, Kev. This is what I go for. I love it.
Well, let's talk about the tournament that starts. There's two tournaments that start April 20th. The SAC is one of them. Their tournament is April 20th, 24th, and 28th. Six teams get in. Limestone and Lenoir Rhine have byes. This is what I've got right now as the other seeds. You tell me, Danny. Wingate is 3 because they should beat Coker. Newberry 4. Anderson, the 5th seed, and Coker coming up as the 6th seed.
Yep, that's what I got. Limestone's undefeated in conference, 8-0. Lenoir Rhine 7-1. Wingate 6-2 in conference right now. Newberry's 5-3. And then Anderson and Coker. So, you know what? That South is that conference right there.
The top 4 seeds are in the top 10. for Division II right now based on USARLA poll.
So just to get out of the SAC conference is like mini NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to say that all four of those teams all have a chance. There's four of the teams in the SAC.
All four have a really good chance
of getting into the NCAA tournament.
I agree.
So imagine having to play guys that are probably all have an opportunity to go for a national championship. Kevin, I think this year the SAC and the South in particular have dominated D2 lacrosse. You know, in the years past, it's always been the North, I think, that's been dominated, you know, with your, you know, your Dowlings and your NYITs and all the old, you know, the posts and all of the schools that just dominated the North for so long, Lemoyne, you know, Merrimack, you know, those squads, you know, for so long. I think the domination now has turned to the South. I just think
you named some of those teams. Three of them you just named are now playing D1.
Right.
Makeup shifts. Yep.
You know, and it has shifted. I mean, I just think right now the national champion is coming out of the South region.
Yeah.
I agree
right now.
You know, like, you know, Rollins went up to Adelphi, South played North and beat them, you know, and I just don't know if the North teams have what it takes to beat some of these teams in the South. And I just think, you know, the SAC alone with Limestone, Lenoir Rhine, Wingate, and Newberry, they're all top 10 teams, Kev. All four of them are in the top 10. That's a gauntlet right there.
Yep.
So just to get out of the SAC is going to be a really difficult thing to do. Each game is going to be insane.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's go on to the other. We'll talk about the South region conferences this week, and we'll move to the North next week because they start a little bit later. But the next one that starts their tournament April 20th is the Sunshine State. They've gone to six teams this year. So they're April 20th, 24th, and 27th. I'll tell you, Danny, Lynn beating Florida Tech last week made this very interesting.
Sure did.
Not for the top two. Tampa is the one seed and has a bye. Rollins is the two seed and has a bye. Florida Tech, I think, is the three seed. Emory-Riddle, I think, becomes the four seed if they beat Palm Beach Atlantic. Florida Southern could be the five seed if they beat Lynn. But if Lynn wins, they could be the four seed because they beat Florida Tech. And then if Lynn could be the sixth seed, I think even if they lose to Florida Southern, they could be the sixth seed. But it's the end is a crapshoot still, I think.
So St. Leo, you don't think St. Leo's got a shot?
Not based on who they play at last few games. No.
Yeah. Because Lynn is at 2-4 in conference. Emory-Riddle's at 2-4 in conference. Florida Southern's at 2-4 in conference. And St. Leo is at 2-4 in conference.
But St. Leo plays, I think, Rollins in their last game.
Yeah, they do.
And so there'll be 2-5. The other ones have a shot to be like 3-4.
Interesting. So you got Tampa and Rollins at the top. Yeah. You know, Florida Southern, Lynn.
Florida Tech is a three seed just based on their record in conference. But
that's interesting.
And if you look at what the Florida Tech coach said to us, you know, when he said, like, I like playing Rollins and Tampa twice because it gets us ready for the conference play.
Yep.
Look where they are in conference play.
You know, Tampa, you know, I don't know, man. I like Tampa this year. I just think they've been quiet.
Yeah,
kind of.
I do too.
They're 14-1, man. They've been kind of flying underneath the radar, don't you think, a little bit?
I think, yeah, no one's really mentioned them. They've just stayed there. We haven't mentioned them a lot. I think part of the reason we haven't mentioned them is like we try to get other games involved as well. But every game they play, they are so solid. They're going to be tough. They're going to be a tough out in the NCAA tournament.
Because they're going to get in. I think they're going to get in, you know, for sure. And I wouldn't want to play Tampa in the NCAAs. They're going to be a tough out. They're going to be a tough out. They're so well coached. They're deep, you know. And then Rollins too. Rollins is going to get in as well.
Yeah, I think so. So
now Rollins, you know, they went out in the first round last year. Can they make it past the second round? So it's going to be interesting. I think I kind of know which six or seven teams have the opportunity of getting in out of the South, if you ask me. It's going to be LR. It's going to be Tampa. It's going to be Rollins. It's going to be Limestone. It's going to be Wingate, probably.
Yeah, I think they have a good,
They're
if you look at the other teams that have shots.
UIndy, they're still in the hunt a little bit. Rockhurst,
still in the hunt. Even though UIndy is a higher ranked team.
Well, now you see when they go.
I think if Rockhurst wins out in the GLVC conference tournament, do they have a shot? Maybe.
Because
they don't do
it
based on the USILA poll.
They don't do it by rankings. That's right. It starts. That's when they start the math. Remember, they sit down. The committee starts to sit down.
So I think,
and they start doing the math. And when you start doing the math, that now strength of schedule comes in, and who you played, and then who they played,
and then maybe UIndy. Maybe UIndy's strength of schedule is better than Rockers. It probably is.
It might be enough to get them in. You know, maybe the committee says, hey, you know, that UIndy loss.
But if UIndy goes out early in their conference tournament, that may hurt them too. That's why the sixth seed could be interested in the South region. Let's hit a few others. So Conference Carolinas, theirs starts April 23rd, it goes April 23rd, 26th, and 28th. Mount Olive is undefeated, so they should get a bye along with Belmont Abbey. And then I think it goes North Greenville, 3 seed, Barton, 4 seed, Young Harris, who hasn't been there before, comes in as the 5th seed, and Chouan is the 6th seed.
Young Harris sitting at 6-7, Kev, 3-3 in conference.
Yeah.
Who would have
thunk? We haven't talked about them at all, really. Maybe a little bit this year. So just get, you know, that one of their goals was get in the tournament. And they're going to get in. So I tip your hat to them.
So 6-7, they got some kids balling out here. Coburn Connolly from New Westminster, British Columbia, 25 goals and 5 assists. He's balling out for the boys at Young Harris. So good, man. It's good to see a new team in.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
It's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
All right, Conference Carolinas, awesome. Man. You know, Belmont Abbey's always a scary team, Kev, you know, just because Mount Olive's undefeated in conference. I think, you know, North Greenville's, they're at 8-7, which is kind of surprising to me. I thought they could be a little bit better this year.
Me too.
And Young Harris at 6-7 is real big surprise to me. I mean, good for them.
I think it's great. Yeah.
Because 2 years ago, phenomenal. They didn't have a program.
Practically. Yeah. Yeah.
You
2 years
so
ago, this, was their first year back in.
Yeah, to see them back
now
in.
Is the second year with him. Good to see. Very good to
and
see.
And go 3-3 in conference. Yeah, good for them. That's a good job.
Okay, another one that is in April is the RMAC, April 26th and 27th. You know, they go back-to-back just because of travel and everything. Westminster probably is the one seed. I don't see them losing to Adams State or CSU Pueblo. And since they beat CMU in regulation, I think they may be the one seed. That makes Colorado Mesa the 2 seed, Concordia Irvine the 3 seed. Adams State, I think, could be the 4 seed because of point differential in CSU Pueblo. They both won a game against each other, but if you look at the point differential, if that's how they do it, Adams State could be in this year.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
With one win. But I'm impressed with CUI, man. California University of Irvine. I mean, I'm impressed with them. 6-7 first year program, 6-4 in conference.
Yep.
That's pretty impressive for a first year program.
Yeah, their whole goal is to keep improving so they really compete against Westminster and Colorado Mesa.
And then next year, you know, they're going to have a chance to maybe get into the, you know, if they can get into a tournament and come out with a conference win, you know, conference tournament championship, they'll go to the NCAAs. Could you imagine a second year program going to the NCAAs? But it's possible.
Yeah.
But it's possible in that conference, you know.
All right, so let's move on to Peach Belt, May 3rd and 5th, another South Region conference. Montevallo secured the one seed. I think Lander will be two seed, followed by Alabama Huntsville as the three, and Flagler as the four, if they beat Shorter, which I think they will.
Yeah, I think they will, hopefully. We'll see. Flagler's been crappy. They're at 4-8, you know, 0-2 in conference. But Flagler's been really competitive in games, and they've played some really great out-of-conference schedule. Coach Duncan really got them boys going, and they're a better team than that 4-8 indicates.
But look what they've done in conference. They haven't beaten.
I know.
Those guys.
I know. Lander's a good team, man. You know, they were ranked. Montevallo was ranked at one point. So these, you know, they're just another group of good teams in the Peach Belt that Flagler, you know, again, Flagler's only in their third year. So, and Lander's been really, you know, they've been put together a great year. So, but, you know, when they get into this championship in the Peach Belt, it's like, you don't know, Kev. They're all pick'em games. You can't, it's so hard to choose these games in the Peach Belt.
Yeah, well, here's another one I think will be hard to choose this year. And this is the last South Region Conference, which is always tough to figure out. GLVC. Danny, I think this is wide open. Both Rockhurst, I don't even know the seeding right now. Both Rockhurst and UIndy have to play Lewis and Maryvale, like we talked about in the games to watch, to determine the seeding. Those two games, they both flip them. And that could switch how... Who's number one? Who's number two? Who's three? Who's four?
Absolutely. That's what's great about this division. This division is open. It's Rockhurst to lose, though. They sit at 9-2 and 6-0 in conference. So, like,
well, two of those games, they're 4-0 in conference. Two of those games count as out of conference games.
Right. You're right. I forgot about that.
Now, they've played some of those guys. They have to play again, but now they have to play them
for real
conference game, and you know, let's see what happens. They've got, once again, on paper they should beat them. They beat them before. What can they do? They've got to play Maryvale and Lewis, and those are two tough teams that are going to bring it, because they're going to want to have a higher seed. They want to. I tell you what, Maryvale, if they win out, do they have a shot at NCAAs?
I don't know.
So, but I think in their mind, they've got to think that way because they want to win the GLVC tournament.
So Maryville's 9-3. Rockhurst is 9-2. UIndy's 10-3. Lewis is 10-3. And Davenport's right there at 9-4.
Yeah. And it's only because of Davenport's. And I think there's only four teams in the tournament, the Davenport's. But Davenport has really come on strong this year. We started to see it last year. And they're playing better and better, 9-4. They just haven't beat the big boys in the conference yet.
Yeah, yeah. And then you got Quincy at the bottom, 5-7, and William Jewell at 5-7. Hasn't won a game in conference. But I think those top four, you know, Lewis, UIndy, Rockhurst, Maryvale, it's wide open, Kev. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. But again, I think it's Rockhurst to lose, though. They're sitting in the driver's seat a little
I think. They are the favorite.
I tell you, man, I wouldn't want to play a pissed off UIndy, though.
I don't know if you've seen any of the Lewis Instagram post with Coach Peruzzi giving his speeches.
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Look for a man. I wouldn't want to get him angry at me as a player. He's firing these guys up.
He's got that Italian in him. He's got that Italian blood, you know.
We talk black and blue in NE10. We've talked about in the GLVC. Watch this tournament.
Yeah,
it's going to be physical.
The last 4 or 5 years in this uh, this conference, the GLVC, has gotten really a lot better.
Yeah, and their tournaments are always great.
And the last, like this year, has been really good for the GLVC. Yeah. I think there's a lot of parity
from a parity. Yeah, usually UMD would pull it away, and now with that parity, it's great. So you look at William Jewell; they haven't won a game in conference, but they're 5-7 as a first year program.
You know, does UIndy get into the NCAAs? You know, they have to win out. If Rockhurst wins out, do they get a shot at the NCAA in that South region? You know, Florida Southern can't say anything anymore. They're out of the top 20 now. So it's going to be interesting to see who pops into that sixth.
It is. I'll be really interested to see that first tally they come out with for the NCAAs when they put more than six, and they put, I think, like eight teams, and they're not in ranked order.
And yes, folks, the GLVC is in the South region. So those teams are vying for NCAAs. And there's two, maybe three, and that could possibly squeak in. We'll see.
Yep.
The following segment of In the Crease is sponsored by LaxJobs.us. Find lacrosse jobs, find lacrosse people. LaxJobs.us is the number one source to browse and post lacrosse job opportunities on the web. If you're looking to work in lacrosse, at LaxJobs.us, you can browse lacrosse job opportunities, upload a resume, create a seeker profile, and be seen by hundreds of potential employers. You can sign up for email job alerts as well. Are you looking to hire lacrosse people? At LaxJobs.us, you can post a job to be released to a network of qualified job seekers. And the best part is that LaxJobs.us is completely free to use. Our goal is simple: fill lacrosse roles with lacrosse people. Visit us today at LaxJobs.us and follow us at LaxJobs_ and join our community of professionals. LaxJobs.us. Find lacrosse jobs, find lacrosse people. LaxJobs.us.
All right, Danny, time for the player spotlight.
My favorite part, Kev, my favorite part. You know that.
I know that. I have to tell you, this player has been more than accommodating through all my delays on recording and our miscommunication, trying to get him on. He hails from Coquitlam. He's going to correct me if I got it wrong. British Columbia. And Danny, you know, we've looked at it. He's been racking up some impressive stats in his senior season. 39 goals, 36 assists. Talk about balance just there. Oh, and then add into that just 29 ground balls and 6 caused turnovers as an attackman.
Yeah.
Juwan Hawks. So let's invite him in right now. Eric Dozy. Hey, Eric
Dozy.
How you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
My man from Chowan, Coquitlam, yes, British Columbia. He went down south. He was a smart kid. He got out of that cold and went down south. Kev, you got to love those kids that leave the north and go down south. You got to love them.
Yeah, well, why don't we just start with that? Tell us about your lacrosse journey and how you got from the frozen tundras. Well, actually, British Columbia isn't that frozen tundra. It's pretty nice where you come from.
Yeah, a little bit.
All the way down to North Carolina.
Well, it's a funny story, actually. My oldest brother of two that I have, he went to Mars Hill, and he had a pretty good teammate there, and he had a younger sibling my age. And they're going to a tournament down in North Carolina here, and they reached out to my dad saying they're looking for a lefty attackman. And I think this was, like, right before my senior year. So, of course, my dad jumped at the opportunity, and I was excited too. So went down, played for the Shamrocks there. That's where I first came into contact with Coach Cease. Okay. I didn't really hear from a lot of other schools before that. And then, I met him there. And then ever since then, we're just communicating. And I was going to plan a trip to go visit a bunch of schools, or a couple of schools actually. And then, of course, COVID happened during my senior year.
Yeah.
So that all got canceled. And then, it was really just Coach Cease. I loved what he had to say. And I don't know, he just made me fall in love with school from far, I guess. And I decided to come here.
Were you always thinking of trying to come and play in the United States and play college lacrosse? Or was that just kind of because of this tournament, you started thinking about it more?
I would definitely say I was kind of up in the air, like if I still wanted to play. But I have two older brothers. One went to Mars Hill. The middle one went to Montevallo. They came down here to play lacrosse. So I was definitely keen on doing that. And then I always wanted to follow them. So it's definitely a goal in mind. And glad I came down here.
That's awesome. Well, I also have to congratulate, we both have to congratulate you. Over 100 assists in your career. And I think, is that the first time in Chihuahuan history?
Yeah.
And then as well as you have a total of over 200 career points.
Yeah. Appreciate
that. How does that
just feel? Amazing, man. That's amazing.
Did you think you could get there when you started playing?
I don't know. I never looked at myself as really a point guy, like more of like a role player, like feed the ball. But then like you play with guys like Eric George, Jackson Martin, and it comes so easy with those Canadians. Like you build a connection really quick. And then they just start stacking on top of each other.
Now in Canada, did you play like box and stuff like that?
Yeah. I played from a really young age, just following my brothers. So I was always into it. Played junior, took a couple summers off, but
Okay. So you've been playing since a young age, playing that Canadian box lacrosse, little physical, fast game. Now you're at the field game, and how is that different, for you, that transition from the box to the field?
I mean, a lot of Canadians will say like they like box a lot more, but like when I get out on the field, it's playing box, but I have so much more space now.
Yeah, I was just going to say so much wider, so much more area to work with,
Exactly.
That's what I would
think. Like,
I
never... You're like, this is easy.
Partially, but easier. But
yeah, there. Well,
the box, the box. Everything's so tight, man. The defense. Everybody's getting bumped. It's more physical. Definitely. It's crazy. But wow. So you got to. So now, see, Kevin. There's guys out there that fall through the cracks, and my man 100%. Eric Dozy is one of those guys. They just find their niche once they get there.
And you look at who he's partnered with for the past 4 years, Eric George. I mean, Lee's McRae game a few games ago, you had 11 total points and he had 10. What's it like playing with him? Like you two together are just dangerous.
You're like 1, 2, or 2 and 3 in the country together on the same squad.
It's amazing. Me and Eric George, like we're attached at the hip. Basically, we do everything together. We room together. We go golf together. So like just building that off the field connection. It's so easy on the field. I just hear him and like, I can always see him. He's a tall guy. So in the corner of my eye, I'm always looking out for Eric George and he always knows how to get open for me.
That's great. Yeah. You know what? And that makes a good team too. When you got that chemistry off the field and you can bring that same chemistry on the field, it's just going to work wonders. Coach Cease must be thrilled to death to have you two guys on.
Yeah, but I bet you he's not liking what he's thinking. You guys are both graduating this year, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's coming to an end. Sadly, got a couple more games though. We're just gonna lay it all on the line here.
So I was gonna get with that. You guys are 5-7 right now. Your last season game is Belmont Abbey,
which is tough.
But I think Conference Carolinas is kind of wide open, and it looks like you guys are going to the tournament, right?
Yeah.
So
we're locked in for the tournament.
What do you think about if you look back at the season? I'd just like your perspective on the season and playing at Chihuahuan, and then what you guys are looking forward to in this last bit of grind that you talked about.
I mean, it's definitely been a grind this season. Definitely had some games that didn't go our way, or just playing those four quarters out. We've had some good quarters and then we run into some barriers there. But I think for these last couple of games, it's just leave it all out on the field here. There's nothing more else after this. So just got to give it your all, make those effort plays.
I love it. Danny and I have talked about this before. I'd like to get your perspective. You guys, Chihuahuan, going into the tournament, are really playing with house money. No one's going to expect much out of you, right? So if you would you agree with that? Like, you guys got nothing to lose. You can play.
I can definitely see that team's undermining us. But, I'll play with that hand, honestly.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a surprise.
I love that. Danny, I also don't know if you looked at their roster. This is, I think, the most international team I have ever seen on a roster before. You have players besides Canada.
Yeah.
You have guys from Jamaica, New Zealand, Australia, and the Netherlands.
Yes, wow. Sir.
What is that locker room like?
It's actually amazing. It's really fun and interesting to see everybody's different perspective and like all the phrases they have, different ways of going about different things. I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. And coach always says, you know, we always got a place to sleep or a coach to sleep on when traveling. So it's been really awesome.
I think that's got to be one of the best experiences. It's got to really add to your college experience and your team experience, having a locker room like that.
100%. Yeah.
Wow. Now that's awesome. That's really
isn't
awesome.
That crazy?
You know, that's worldly kind of stuff. You know, there's things that kids, you know, a lot of kids wouldn't know about, you know, what they say in New Zealand, what they call an elevator in New Zealand or whatever. You know what I mean? So that's pretty kind of cool in a way. I like that.
We'll
kind
get
of
on
stuff.
Them a bit about it, but it's all in good fun. It brings us together closer.
You're right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you've talked about him a little bit. You mentioned Coach Cease's name, and we've had him on the podcast. He's a great guy. What's it like to play for him?
It's been probably the biggest blessing. I mean, I know I got like a weird personality, I find. So like he allows you to be you, and he really asks what we want and takes our perspective into things. Like I said, like I couldn't ask for a better coach, and he's made my 4 years here so great. And I'm excited to finish strong with him, hopefully through these next couple of weeks, and you know, do something Chuan hasn't done before.
Yeah, I mean, so let me ask you that then. Why Chuan? I mean, you kind of talked about it, but what would you say if you were talking to a junior in high school? What do you think the biggest selling point for Chuan the school and Chuan the program?
Well, obviously, number one, I got to go with Coach Cease. He sold me. His style of play, especially if I'm talking to a kid back home from Canada, it really works for us, I feel like, down here. And he takes us into... He asks this question and sees what he likes. Also, it's pretty like in the middle of nowhere, but I find like it's what you make of it here. So we got a pretty tight-knit group. We're always doing stuff on campus together, hanging out, having a ball, you know, going golfing together. I kind of like that aspect. Coming from like a bigger town, bigger city back home. So like coming here, it's a lot slower, which I like. And it really like lets you dedicate yourself to lacrosse and to your education here.
Well said, young man.
That is, because I think a lot of people that grow up in a bigger city could have a tough time going to a small town. And yet there's, like you just said, there can be a lot of benefit from relationships within the team or within the school, or you learn how to make fun, right? You find the other things you could do besides what you would normally do in a big city, which is, you know, there's so many different things you could do, right?
Definitely, yeah.
He's very well-spoken, Danny.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Ken, let me ask you, what are you studying? What are you going to get your degree in?
Sports management.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Any plans, anything set?
No plans exactly. I would like to go do my master's somewhere, hop on as a GA. I think I'd love to stick around the game of lacrosse, maybe not play, but just have my nose in there, coach maybe, or just work in like an athletic department. I think I'd love it. I love the connections you make and the relationships. I think that's the key there. I really enjoy.
Yeah, you just answered my next question, because I was going to say, what about coaching? You know, maybe go get that master's, you know?
Well, and I will
maybe
tell
Coach
you right
Cease
now.
Will keep you around.
here's a great plug for you.
Yeah.
Go to laxjobs.us. They're our sponsor right now, and they've actually posted jobs for graduate assistants. It's probably more for this year right now.
Yeah.
But you could actually post your resume to it, and you can look for graduate assistant jobs.
We'll even
hook you up with the founder and the guy who runs it, and he can
be amazing.
He's the assistant coach at Flagler. we'd be happy to do that. Because I think keeping you in the sport as a coach and helping you get your master's, we would love to help you out.
That'd absolutely
be awesome. That'd actually be very helpful too. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, man. It's what we do here at In the Crease. We help each other out.
Of course, you have to pass one more test.
That's right, Kev. Yeah.
He has to go into the firing round with you, Danny.
Here we go. I'm sweating now.
All right. Eric Dozy, the senior attackman for Chawan Hawks from Coquitlam, British Columbia, up in Canada, leads the country in points right now, this week, as we speak. 75 points. You're 11th in the country in goals, third in the country in assists. Dude, you are just balling out this year. You're having a great time. You're a well-spoken young man. And now I'm going to throw a couple of questions at you and just fire those answers back as best as you can. Ready?
I'll try.
Here we go. He's got a big smile on his face, everybody. He's like, he's scared. He's scared.
He's trying to get loose right now.
All right, ready? Mom's best meal.
Lasagna.
Good one. You know, is your mom Italian by any chance?
She isn't, but my dad is. So she kind of picked up on that.
Okay. What's your go-to midnight snack?
I like to take bagels from the cow. So probably like a blueberry bagel with some butter.
Okay.
Not much, but it's honest work.
You gotta have an honest work snack. That's yeah. Without a doubt.
Morning bird or night owl?
Definitely night owl. Yeah.
All right. Xbox or PlayStation?
PlayStation.
Runs or lifts?
I'm a runner. I got skinny legs.
Runner. One of the rare breeds that says that they like runs. Most of the guys we got like lifts, like they want no part of runs. MLL or PLL?
I'll go PLL.
All right. Who's your favorite player?
I always was a huge fan in college of Kyle Harrison. And then moving to more attack, Michael Sowers now.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Those aren't bad choices.
Did you play any other sports besides lacrosse?
I played soccer for a bit. I played some ball hockey when I was a lot younger. And then in the last couple of years, I picked up golf a lot. So I play a lot of golf now. Yeah.
Okay, did you watch the Masters?
I did. Now, I'm a big Rory guy, so...
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, who's your favorite player? Okay, yeah, Rory McIlroy. Yeah, he's pretty good. He struggled a little bit this week, but it's all right.
Yeah.
Give us one item on your bucket list.
One item. I'd say going to Italy. My brother did a trip and he biked all across Italy. So maybe doing something like that.
Wow.
Interesting. Very cool. Yeah. Tell us something about yourself that not many people know about. You know,
I'm
like
you're a guy, but okay. I like to have my alone time sometimes, just think.
All right.
Okay. I like that answer. That's a very honest answer. I like it.
Yeah.
Your best lacrosse memory at Chawan?
Ooh, that's got to be that Coker game. I think it was my sophomore year. We were down at half and we put together really two good quarters there and came back and won. It was a big one for us.
Wow. Definitely that Coker game. Sounds cool. Who's the funniest kid on the team?
Might be a little biased, but Georgie knows how to poke my strings sometimes.
Okay.
Our goalie Gavin's pretty funny too there. There's a bunch of comedians, I have to say.
All right. A couple of shout outs for the boys. Who's the one player on the team you would never let date your sister if you had one?
Harry Buckman.
Why? What's up?
There's a list, but I don't know.
That's great.
Maybe we'll just hold it at the list. Maybe we'll just hold it at the list, Danny.
Yeah.
Favorite professor that you had at Chawan?
Oh, Dr. Collins all the way. He's the best.
What's he teach?
He's the head of sports, the sports or SSP department. So I've taken literally every single class basically he's had. He's a comedian.
Okay, good. Does he like lacrosse? He's cool with the lacrosse team.
Definitely cool with the lacrosse team. Not a lot of knowledge about it, but he'll poke his head out sometimes.
There we go.
Okay, and last but not least, give us your best impression of Coach Cease. Don't worry, you're not going to get in trouble. He's laughing, Coach.
He does a good one where it's like the offense is firing around and like in a drill and say the defense has a man down. And he always go like, you guys act like we're playing man down right now. That's all I can really think of.
Well, Eric Dozy, you did a great job in the firing around. We really appreciate it. You did great, young man.
That was fun.
I will tell you right now, Eric. And I've said this to other people that we've waited to get on and we couldn't get on for one thing or another. Mm-hmm. This was well worth
the wait for sure.
Getting you appreciate on, that. Mr. Dozy.
100%. This is fun.
And hey, because you did so well in the firing round, you're going to get a free pass to laxjobs.us and we'll hook you up with the founder.
Let's go. That's awesome.
I wanted to ask just before we go, how was senior day? Emotional.
It was a tough one for us, I think. But yeah, on that aspect, definitely pretty emotional. But knowing we had one more game back at home, kind of tried to keep it in there. But it's tough knowing that it's about to come to an end. But you know, we still got opportunities, so I'm just looking forward to those.
Well, Eric, you had a great career. You're still going. You can still put up a couple more points. I think you're on your way to being an All-American if you keep it up like that. You're definitely going to be All-Conference. Your mom and dad have to be so proud of you. Yeah. You know, and they get to come to North Carolina and get out of the cold every once in a while. So you're probably like, you're their favorite now, you know?
Yeah, honestly.
Well, Eric Dozy, we really appreciate you coming on the show tonight. Continued success, young man. And let's go get him in the tournament, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys. I've had a lot of fun on this. Good laughs.
Eric Dozy. He was a lot of fun having on.
What a good kid, man. I like that kid. He was smiling the whole time. He just had a ball with himself. And speaking of ball, he's balling out, my man. Yeah. He's a player. How he's not on some of these other teams, kind of like, or at a D1 level, kind of surprises me because he's that good. I think he's got a good chance of being, if not first team, second team All-American, man.
You would think. He deserves it. He and Eric George deserve it on that team.
Yeah. What a good kid. I really enjoyed having him on. His parents must be prouder than hell from him.
He gave some great answers on the firing round.
Yeah, like, good, man.
What don't he's you smart. Know about him? I like my alone time. I mean, just like that's so honest. It's so pure. I loved it. What a great kid. A lot of fun. All right. Now,
and you know what? And we know what I liked about too, what he said. Maybe I'll get into coaching and get my master's. Yeah. Smart kid.
Oh, which reminds me, I've got to hook him up with Coach Foot and
that's right.
I got to hook them up on email. I got to do that tomorrow. That's all right, but now it's time to move on. Thank you for that reminder. It's time to move on to shout outs. Let me start off.
Shout outs.
My first shout out goes to Bubba Love of Frostburg State. We talked about in the week in review, 6 goals.
Got the best name, and he's got the best name in all of lacrosse.
He does. He set the program record for career points for Frostburg State at 223.
Yeah, Bubba. Go get you some, kid. My first shout out, my man Victor Powell, 113 cause turnovers, career record at Lenoir Rhine. Kevin, there's players in this league that just stand out, and I like those players. I'm always drawn to good players, the players that do a lot of things well, and they might play on that team or that team. It doesn't matter. I like watching those kids play, those particular, and I watch them on the field. Victor Powell's one of those kids.
100%.
He's been playing since he's a freshman on a really good team. He's been All-American. He's just been a great player and a really great player to watch. So congratulations, Victor, on your career at Lenoir Ryan, and it's still going. Keep it going,
yeah.
Kid.
Yeah, we'll see more cause turnovers before this season's out.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. My last shout out goes to Caleb Parker, the face-off specialist at UIndy. We've talked about him several times on this podcast of how good he is, but he has scored the fastest goal in D2 men's lacrosse history on Saturday, securing the opening faceoff and beating the Quincy goalie in just 4 seconds.
4 seconds. Wow. So that's goal clamp scored. Up, pop, out, run.
You saw it. He shot it in 15, 12 yards out.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. So 4 seconds. That's the record. Good job, kid.
Fastest score ever in a game that quick.
All right. My last shout out goes to, now this is going to be something a little bit different, Kev, too, because it goes out to a team mom. Okay. We've talked about team moms. We've talked about Melody Brennan and some of the other team moms. Well, I'm going to give a shout out to Nicole Conley, the Wingate team mom. She's been the team mom for the last 2 years. And Kevin, if you know her, to know her is to love her. Always got a smile on her face. What she does for the team is amazing. But there's a little correlation between the Powell, Victor Powell, and the Conleys, because Nicole's son, Trent, is a short stick D middie at Wingate. And his best friend is Victor Powell. They grew up right up the block played from together. Each other, played in the same high school together, played the same summer teams together. So they're really close. So I like that little correlation, this, you know, the bringing that together. And you know what, Nicole, you do an amazing job, but you're a great person and your kids are amazing. And don't forget, she's got a kid at Navy who's a short stick D middie too.
You know, so, I like that Navy so brethren.
Her husband getting that RV, and they're in Navy one weekend and they're down in Wingate the next weekend. And then they're up in Navy for another game. So I give them all the credit in the world, and she's a great woman. And we got the last couple of games coming up, and her son's graduating because he's a fifth year. And so she's been great. So I just wanted to give Nicole a shout out.
That's a great one. That's a great one. It's a great one to end off on. And just want to tell our fans and our listeners, keep those DMs coming to us. We love them. We love hearing from you. And remember, if you're DMing us and you like this podcast, and if you don't DM us, but you still like this podcast, pass this along. Pass it along to everyone you know. People coming up, people in high school, players in high school, coaches in high school, parents in high school. Let's try to build this D2 lacrosse community some more.
Yeah, and don't forget to thank our sponsor, LaxJobs.us, for sponsoring the two knuckleheads at In the Crease. We appreciate our partnership. We love it. And looks like it's doing pretty well. So I'm glad to see that. And Kev, we're almost ready for conference tournaments,
Can't believe it. We're almost here.
Can you believe how fast this season has gone by?
I told you, it just jumped up at me that we were at conferences, Danny. Conference tournaments coming up in about another week. So, but for this week, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap, Kev.